Well, good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to St. Field Road Presbyterian Church. It's great to have you here with us this morning. I'm Johnny Bell. I'm the youth worker here, and I'll be leading our service today. But it's great to have so many folks from our church family involved in leading with us today. Like every other church, at this time, we're online, we're live streaming, but hoping that we can return to meet again in person before too long. But in the meantime, we gather wherever we are to worship Jesus Christ. Let's start with a psalm. Some verses from Psalm 65. God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, when evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. So together, let's lift our eyes to the mighty God, our Savior, as we sing together, Behold our God.
Thank you.
Well, let's bow our heads and talk to that God, our King, now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, King of the world, what an awesome God you are. When we stand in the Mourne Mountains, they seem so big to us. And yet you made them. Your hands designed their very shape. How much bigger must you be? And when we swim at the North Coast and the waves crash over our heads, they seem so powerful. And yet you can make them stop. You still their roaring with just a word. How much more powerful must you be? Father, when we think about the week ahead, the homeworks, to-do lists, questions, we realize we've still a lot to learn. Our brains feel tired processing it all. But yet, what do you need to learn? What could we teach you? Absolutely nothing. Father, you are so awesome, so powerful, so perfect. And you're also so personal and kind, so good and gracious towards us. Your mind that numbers every grain of sand also knows our house number, our phone number, the numbers of worries on our hearts. Those hands of yours that hold all the oceans also hold us close too. That heart of yours that loved us so much that you sent Jesus to forgive our sins, to bring peace to our hearts, to bring order out of chaos in this world. Help us meet with you today, to know your Holy Spirit at work within us, replacing our fears with faith, our doubts with hope, and helping us with all creation to celebrate your greatness and your goodness. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, we've a few announcements just to draw to your attention today. I'm delighted that tomorrow night at 8:30, Jill will be leading our second rest and reflect session. That's for all women, young and old. That's going to be the second of 5 Monday nights. That's all the way through to the end of March, where there's a space to rest and to listen to a short reflection together. It would be great to have you along tomorrow night on Zoom. Also, the midweek prayer gathering, as usual, is on this Wednesday evening. All details can be found on the announcement sheet. And also, just to flag up for March the 21st, that's Sunday, March the 21st, there will be a special Mission Cafe Church also on Zoom. We'd love to have you along at 4 o'clock that afternoon. Again, all details of these are on the announcement sheets. But also, I want to highlight a resource that has been produced by PCI. It's called Sinking, and it's a church-wide evangelistic initiative where we, as members of the church, are encouraged to share a short video clip with our friends, our work colleagues, and on our social media platforms to help other people to consider what the Christian message, what the gospel has to offer at this particular time. Now, Ben is providing a short intro to that clip to personalize it from us at Saintfield Road Presbyterian Church, and it will be available later on this week on the church website and also on our Facebook page. So please do consider who and how you might share this with others. Now, I'm delighted that one of our members, Lynn Guinea, who is the assistant chaplain at Queen's University and at Derevolgi Halls, is going to share with us now. Ben caught up with her this week, and here's a short interview where you can hear more of the ministry that she's involved with students.
And we really want to hear a bit about you and about some of the work you do We'll come to that, but maybe just tell us a bit about yourself and your family. Just tell us who you are and tell us about the family. Now, maybe I should preface that by saying you guys have been around St. Phil Road for a couple of years.
About a year and a half.
Year and a half, a couple of years, yeah. And folks will have seen your girls. I was just looking at them on the screen the other day. They were doing our God is a Great Big God that I was looking at. And some of the fellows that have played football with Chris, he's the one who's quite good. Yes, Lynn, tell us a bit about them anyway.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Lynn, and I'm married to Chris, as you've heard. We have three girls. Their names are Ava, Mia, and Freya. And we joined St. Phil Road just before the pandemic. And I work at the Presbyterian Chaplaincy at Queen's. So I am the assistant chaplain for the Presbyterian Chaplaincy at Queen's. I am part of a staff team with a chaplain whose name is Dave Gray. We have an administrator and, depending on the year, one or two interns who come to work with us and live with us as well. We have a hall of residence over at Queen's. It's called Derryvolgie Hall, and it accommodates up to about 88 young people who are in Belfast to study. We have students from Queen's, from UU and the Bible College staying there. During a normal year, we host a full programme of activities, and that begins with a Sunday night event, which is worship and teaching. It continues into girls and guys groups during the week, where we get to look at the issues a bit deeper. We have a weekly programme of ministry opportunities for students as well, where they get to volunteer in homework clubs in Friendship House, in Adelaide House, where they visit residents there and they do a little bit of detached youth work at Tokamuna.
Okay.
In addition to this, we have a successful project called iMeal. iMeal is a community meal that is hosted by our own students at Derryvolgie Hall for international students who are studying at Queen's. And the purpose of that is to offer a friendship opportunity for them, community, and a home-cooked meal. So there you go, Ben.
Lynn, that's a lot going on. So you said earlier, I'm just going to pick up a phrase, they people sort of working with us or living with us. Now, Lynn, I know that you don't live there, but possibly at times it feels a bit like that. I don't know. What kind of time do you spend there? What are some of the things that you're involved with? So there's the... are you there on Sundays? Are you there during the week, during particular times? Or what sort of stuff do you... like, forget about COVID for the minute. If this was any other week that we're in the middle of a term, what would that look like for you?
Okay. I normally work on a Sunday night, and we start late because students go to their own church or youth fellowship. And then they come up to us and we host a special student event, which... is worship and teaching, but teaching that looks at topics that are relevant to them. So at the minute, we are hosting a month that is called Mental March. And so our teaching on Sunday nights and our events through the week are all focused on that. So I'm there on Sunday nights, and I'm there during the day as well, during the week. I do a lot of pastoral care, and then we pull students into the ministry opportunities and all the other events that we host.
What sort of things can we be praying for you, for students, for the chaplaincy work just at the moment? So people got a bit of a flavour. And I should say as well, we were talking earlier about there's a little kind of promotional video for Derryvolgie. Do you have a little starring role in, I think? A little bit of you and Dave Gray and some of the students too. It gives people a bit of a flavour, if not all of the kind of fun and the frantics of Derryvolgie. It gives a bit of, they can actually visualise it. But what sort of things can we be praying for?
I mean, I would always ask for people to pray for creativity. You've always got to... be creative with students to get their attention and have imagination. So creativity, imaginations, patience, particularly at the moment, because students are less bothered about the restrictions than the rest of us are, and relevance so that we can make the Bible relevant to where they are in this moment. For students, the restriction thing, and for making friends, I think that's a huge thing for them at the minute, making friends, meeting people, and then of course the biggie, which is mental health issues.
Yeah, well, Mental March begins today, does it really? Yeah, and a lot of issues going on for students particularly, as they kind of figure a lot of that out, and for you folks walking alongside them, but for which as a church we're very grateful. It's a great ministry that you do, so we're really thankful for that, Lynn.
Well, do head over to the church YouTube channel for the full version of that interview and watch, and do pray for the work and ministry that Lynn is involved in. Now, from Queens in Belfast, we are travelling through the tropical shores of Bangor. Watch in and see what we might learn today.
Hello all, it's Jill here, and I'm just out for my lockdown walk, and I've come here to the beach, and that's, oh look, that's across the lock there, that's Carrick, that's the land of the Thompsons, of Alf and Ruth. Patrick and Joel, wave to me, can you wave? I think, yes, hello, hi, yes, can I see them? I think I can. Oh, brilliant. Hello, Thompsons. Have a good day. It's looking a bit blustery today. Not a bad. Good to see there's some waves there. I'm just having a little walk to get out, because it does get a bit claustrophobic at home, and the four walls do chime in. So, yeah, it's great to have a wee bit of space. Breathe in the good Bangor sea air. Here we are. Some people out with their dogs and just enjoying life. Oh, lovely, lovely. Can't wait to come back. Oh. What's that? I think that's the real famous Bangor fisherman, Seasick Steve. I wonder what he's doing here. I wonder, should I go and speak to him? I'm not sure. He's a bit rough. I'll go and ask him anyway.
Hello.
Is it you? Is that Seasick Steve?
Hi, lass.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
I'm grand, thank you. How can I help you?
What are you doing? Are you just... You're usually on a fishing boat.
Yeah, I've been fishing fleet man and boy for 50 years.
And are you just having a wee look at the ocean?
A wee just a wee look at the sea, just to bring back memories, that's all.
It's a bit cold today and a wee bit rough, isn't it? Maybe it's not rough for you. Have you been in worse?
That's perfectly calm.
Even those big waves.
What do you know about storms?
You've probably had some storms in your time, haven't you?
Oh, I'm going to tell you, the last I was down, I've had quite a few.
Uh-huh. But it must be a bit scary at times when you're out there in the fishing boat and waves are coming at you.
Well, I remember once coming down the Mull Sound, we were in a fishing fleet and there was a yacht up ahead of me. Uh-huh. And the yacht broached, which means it went all sails in the water to the left and then to the right.
Ooh.
And then back up again. So the young fella at the back of that boat wasn't happy. But the waves, they were good.
Terrifying.
40, 50 feet high. Well,
50 feet high.
It's terrifying. Yeah, it was. I've been out to shooting. Right there in the REC. No, I could just turn like that. Turn like that.
That's a bit scary. You're very brave to be a fisherman these days.
What you're paid for, people want their place.
I want to know your place, don't you?
I'm go out there and we get it for them.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. There's been a few scary ones now. I can tell you. My beard's white because of the storm. I've had a weather through my life.
Is that right, Steve? You're so brave. Honestly, you're a banger, phenomenon. It's such an honour to meet you. And personally, I've only ever seen you on the boat going out to catch your place.
You'll see me tomorrow. I'll be back out tomorrow.
Will you?
Yes.
All the best. Lovely to see you. I just keep going here with my walk.
Okay.
And
okay, lads.
All the best.
Good
all the best.
To
thank
good
you.
To
thank you.
Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, commanded the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
Welcome back. That story was a bit of a surprise, a bit of a shock for the disciples of Jesus. I was thinking this week about some people in our church family who are able to do surprising things. And I'm going to describe some of them now and see if you can guess who I'm talking about. Okay, the first one. Can you guess who is a qualified rugby referee, but who also loves poetry? Derek Henderson. Number two. Who can make fabulous paper airplanes? And if you've been to KFC, you'll know this. Yes, it's Chris Guinea. Fabulous. Who has three pet chickens? And she can lift them up, cuddle them. And that would be Abigail McCulloch, or Abigail Attenborough, as I now call her. Who can do amazing magic tricks, I believe? Haven't seen them, but who can do that? David McCauley can. Who played football for Linfield? And that would be Ronnie White. Well done, Ronnie. And finally, which two people were born on the same day, but they aren't twins? That would be last October, and it would be Hannah Wardlow and Sam Hamilton. Born on the same day, different families, not twins. The account of Jesus and the disciples in the boat, which Sophia read just now, tells us of a very big surprise that the disciples had. At over 650 feet, that's 200 metres, below sea level, the Sea of Galilee is the world's lowest freshwater lake. And apparently cold winds regularly blow in from the Mediterranean, rushing down between the mountains, whipping up huge storms on the water. And this wasn't news, though, to Jesus' friends, to Simon, Andrew, James and John. They were experienced fishermen, just like Seasick Steve. They knew the Sea of Galilee really well. They'd spent hours on it, countless hours, in the daylight and in the dark, and they knew well, very well, how rough the waters could get out there. But whatever storms they'd been through before, this one was really different. It was way worse. Completely out of their control, they were stuck and panicking and fearing for their lives. For Jesus' disciples, this must have been right up there with the most terrifying moments of their lives. They think they're about to drown, and so they frantically look around for Jesus, but they can't really find him straight away. Where is he? And then someone spots him at the back of the boat, asleep on a cushion, it says. The disciples jolt him awake. "Don't you care if we drown?" they shout over the noise of the storm. And Jesus gets up and answers this question in the most amazing way possible. Verse 39 says, "He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' And the wind died down, and it was completely calm." So, the waves have died down, the winds have stopped, the sky is suddenly and unnervingly clear. The friends stare around in shock until Jesus breaks the stunned silence with a question. The question was, verse 40, "Why are you so afraid?" So how would you have answered that question? How do you think? I'm not sure I would have got much beyond did you not just see what happened? What? We almost died. That's why I'm afraid. And then Jesus continues, "Do you still have no faith?" Really saying, "Do you not trust me?" But for the disciples, what does trusting Jesus even mean to them anymore after that? So many questions, so many emotions. Jesus had just stopped a storm right in the middle of it. While it was still raging, it wasn't about to just die off, but it was still raging, and just by speaking, just by telling the waves and the wind to stop, they did. The storm stopped. It's just like when you tell a dog to lie down and to roll over, and it obeys. Jesus had just saved their lives and stopped the huge storm that threatened to sink them. But had he just created an even bigger storm in their hearts and in their minds? The disciples were even more freaked out by this. How could they make sense of what they just witnessed? Most importantly, the question was, who on earth is this man? Who can do what he has just done? They were used to Jesus preaching and healing and doing smaller miracles, exciting things like that. But this had just leapt to a whole new level. Who is this man? He had just saved their lives, but now they were terrified of him. Could they dare to begin to think that Jesus actually is God himself? Jesus did seem completely human too. He got tired, he got hungry, he had normal human emotions. But who had they been hanging around with? Were they crazy to hang around with him? What was this man capable of? Were they safe? Should they run as far away as fast as possible from him and this crazy, shocking thing that he had just done? But as we know, they didn't run. There was something about Jesus that kept them there with him. They had seen how kind, how loving, how patient, how joyful he was with ordinary people, with little children, even with the disciples themselves. And though they now had a million more questions than answers about him, suddenly, though undeniably, and terrifyingly, they had witnessed his God acts too. It reminded me of C.S. Lewis as he wrote about Aslan, the Jesus figure in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And he asks, "Safe? Is Aslan safe?" "Of course he isn't safe," he replied. "But he is good. He's the king, I tell you." It is easy for us to downplay how this must have been for those disciples. But we have centuries of hindsight and we know his God-human status. And this is a point on which our faith sinks or swims. Christianity is pointless unless Jesus is God. Jesus is nothing for us if he's only a human. In fact, he may well have drowned alongside the disciples in the storm if he were only human. But thankfully, mercifully, we know that Jesus is God and that he walked on earth as a human, and that changes everything. Because he is God, that means he can be our Saviour. And because he is love, completely loving, that means he wants, he longs to be our Saviour. And that is the best news ever. Thanks be to Jesus that he is both beautifully with us and also beyond us, greater than us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he loves us. Thank you that he wants to be our Saviour. Help us to love him, no matter what age we are, young or old, to love him back and to allow him to be Saviour and Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Sophia. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, C6 Steve, who knows his place. One of the joys of reading and thinking about the Bible together is that we help one another to see what we couldn't see if we were just looking at it on our own. So what I'd love for us to do is something a little bit different this morning. And I'd love the boys and girls to take the lead on this, but it's for everyone, actually, as much as you wish to take part, as much as you're willing to. It would be great if you would draw a picture from this scene in Mark chapter 4. To help us imagine together what this story looked like. What was Jesus doing? What was it like for the disciples? And then send a picture, a photograph of that to me later on this afternoon or this evening, and I'll put them together in a little compilation to share with us next week. You can draw, paint, sketch, whatever's best for you. You can do it later, or better still, why not just hit pause and go grab what you need now. I'll not be offended. Back again? Great. Let's continue in our worship as we look up to our great big God, our storm-stopping God. Let's worship him together.
Our God is a great big God.
Well, what a treat, not just to worship together, but to see one another and be reminded of some of those lockdown haircuts as well. Folks, let me share a little bit about what I've been doing during lockdown in the last week. Well, to ease some of my boredom, I've bought myself something. Hopefully you'll get a picture on the screen here. It's some Lego. It's my Lego. But if I'm feeling kind, I sometimes let Jacob and Amy have a go. As you can see on the screen here, this is a normal, peaceful day of homeschool in Moneyrae. Now, this Lego is a little bit different from usual Lego. This is Lego art. You know, we're unleashing our inner Picasso. It's a Lego canvas. There are 3,000 individual Lego pegs. But put them together and you create an image. Think Lego mixed with paint by numbers. Now, here's the thing. Whenever you're placing the pegs, you don't really see the full picture, just the bit that you're working on. And actually, even whenever you've put all 3,000 pieces together, if you stand too close, it's still a bit confusing. A bit like this image we've got up here. You can't quite make out what it is. But when you take a few steps back, it brings it into focus. There's greater clarity as to who it is, which is, of course, as we all know, the iconic Sith, Darth Maul. Money well spent, right? But perhaps a bit like the little pegs in this Lego puzzle, Mark has been giving us lots of pieces of information so far, painting a picture of who Jesus is and what he's about. But in this story, Mark is about to up the ante, which will leave his disciples not only confused and seeking clarity, but also terrified. Now, we all know it's a familiar story, maybe one we've heard since we were children, and often the message we hear is, Jesus calmed the storm, and he will calm the storms in your life. Now, while in one sense that's true, he can, that's not the big idea that Mark is driving at. Instead, let's take a step back and see Jesus more clearly. It'd be helpful if you've got a Bible to have them open at Mark chapter 4. We're going to jump in at verse 38 with the disciples in a wild panic as they shake a sleepy Jesus awake. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? How did the disciples even get to this point? Why are they even on a lake in a storm? Well, after a day of teaching the crowds from his boat, his floating pulpit, Jesus tells the disciples to sail across to the other side of the lake. You see, the disciples aren't in this storm through disobedience or foolish choices, or even bad luck. It's following Jesus that's placed them in the eye of this storm, this place of challenge. And as Jill explained earlier, because of the geography of this area, things can get pretty turbulent on the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples, they suddenly find themselves in danger, tossed about like a child's toy boat in the bath. Peter, Andrew, James, John, they were experienced fishermen. But whatever storms they've been through before, this one's worse. This situation is completely out of their control. And in the middle of it all, there's Jesus having a nap. They're not just a little bit worried here. They don't just tap Jesus on the shoulder and ask, Jesus, is there maybe anything you can do to help us get out of here? No. They cry out in desperation to the only person they think can save them. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Well, imagine the eyes of Jesus looking back at them in that moment. Don't I care? Didn't I call you to join me? The reason I'm in the boat is because I care. The reason I'm in the world is because I care. The reason I'm going to the cross is because I care. But we can relate to the disciples' question, can't we? I wonder what challenges this pandemic has brought crashing into your life. Working from home, isolation, caring for sick relatives, financial strains, missing people, missing worshiping together, uncertainties about the future. Any one of these things would bring their own pressures. But perhaps they feel like they're coming at us, crashing wave after wave. No wonder we can feel in danger of being swamped, of sinking, going down, anxious, tossed about like a boat in a storm. And I wonder if we're honest, if there's a spoken or perhaps unspoken feeling of this. Jesus, don't you see what's going on here? Why aren't you doing anything? I've been through storms before, but not like this. Don't you care? And I know personally I've noticed within myself, even this week, turning to panic rather than turning to prayer. Or turning to the Psalms for a fresh perspective on my troubles. There's no denying that our storms are real and that they can be great, furious even, and that sometimes Jesus leads us into them. The immediate threat of our circumstances can get in the way of our assurance of Jesus' care, can close in on us and cause us to lose sight of Jesus' word, to doubt his love. That's why it's so important that we pick up what Mark is showing us. Not that Jesus calmed the storm and he'll calm all of your storms too. Because in fact, Jesus is about to create an even bigger storm. Let's look at where the story finishes in verse 41. The disciples aren't calm. They're not reassured. They are full of great fear. They're asking a big question, the right question, an honest question. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. After waking Jesus in verse 39, we see him do something amazing. We see him rebuke the wind and the waves. Quiet! Be still. Do waves have ears? Can lakes hear? Interesting. Thinking of Jesus talking to them, isn't it? Commanding them, telling them to shut up. Mark is upping the ante in this story. We've seen Jesus as a great teacher, as a miracle worker, as a healer. But now Mark's drawing attention to something altogether more terrifying. The power of Jesus' voice commands the very elements. Jesus has the authority of the Creator himself. Now Mark's first readers, perhaps, maybe even probably, they'll have heard echoes of older stories from the Bible. Think of the story of creation, when God's order, his new world, emerges from the dark, primal sea. God bringing order out of chaos. Think of the Israelites leaving Egypt, but stuck between the impassable Red Sea and the oncoming forces of the Egyptians, terrified. God makes a way, splits the sea, quietens the Egyptians, rescues his people. Think of the Psalms, which speak of Creator God who stilled the roaring of the seas, telling its rough and threatening waves to quieten down. Or think of Jonah, the wayward prophet, caught in a suspicious storm, thrown in the turbulent sea, which is then quietened by God and leaving the witnesses terrified. Put all these pictures together, and what do we have? As we ask with the disciples, who is this guy? What are we to infer about Jesus? You see, the Jewish people, they weren't really seafaring people. For them, the sea came to symbolize the dark powers of evil, threatening to destroy God's good creation, God's people, God's purposes. This rescue of Jesus is showing us in very concrete terms what the parables have just been showing us in word pictures. God's sovereign power is being unleashed. The kingdom of God is here. The same power that made the world in the first place is living and acting through Jesus. Kevin DeYoung puts it like this: a great windstorm became a great calm, which filled the disciples with a great fear. You see, the only thing more frightening than being in a small boat in the middle of a big storm is being in a small boat with a man who shouts at big storms and succeeds. Jesus didn't just calm a storm. He caused a storm, at least in the hearts and in the minds of the disciples. He calmed the sea and he stirred them up. No wonder they were confused. There's only one person in existence with that type of power. Their moment of clarity, well, it's going to come later as they step back, as they put the pieces of the puzzle together. Fast forward to the end of Mark. The forces of evil would come up against Jesus with everything they could hurl. Jesus is no longer sleeping on a cushion. He slumped on the cross. But 3 days later, the tomb, it's the tomb that's still. It's the tomb that's empty. It's the tomb and evil that has been silenced. Who is this guy? Have you had your moment of clarity? When you realized who Jesus actually is? When the picture became clear? Not just a good teacher, not just a miracle worker, but the Son of God himself. Who else in your life needs help to see Jesus? Who needs to repent and believe the good news? Who might you share the sinking resource with? Well, we've looked at two questions from the disciples. Well, Jesus has a question for them now. Why are you so afraid? Well, isn't it obvious? They almost died. But the second part helps explain the first. Do you still have no faith? Or in other words, don't you trust me? It appears that the waves aren't the only thing being rebuked in this story. You see, when push comes to shove, we find out the reality of our faith, don't we? What we really believe about Jesus. Not what we want other people to think that we believe. Not even maybe what we think we believe. I guess storms are a litmus test to show how much our days and our decisions are ruled by faith and how much they're ruled by fear. I mean, we're not entirely full of faith or entirely full of fear, are we? We're more of a mixture. Consider this picture for a moment. Two huge horses pulling against each other, back to back. Which one will win? Left or right? Well, the answer is the one that we feed the most. Storms are real, but they're also a real opportunity for me and for you. In every storm, in every trial of our life, there's an opportunity to discover the identity and the authority of Jesus, to feed our faith or to feed our fear. To let Jesus be our true north, or let circumstances dictate to us how we should feel. You see, the disciples weren't just in a storm. They were in a storm with Jesus. And remembering that makes all the difference. Of course they'd be scared if they focused on the storm. It was too big for them. But if they'd focused on Jesus, they'd realize the storm was not too big for him. We have no guarantee that Jesus will remove our storms. In fact, following Jesus can lead us right into them. But he has promised to be with us always. And he's shown us that we can trust him. Mark's first readers were living under the persecution of Rome. Tossed about, they could easily have identified with the frightened man in the boat. But they weren't just living under persecution. They were living under persecution with Jesus. And we're not just living in a pandemic. We are living in a pandemic with Jesus. Remembering that makes all the difference. What will help feed your faith this week? Reading through Mark, accessing the resources that we have on our website, using Lectio 365 prayer app, joining Rest and Reflect tomorrow night, pausing to be still. Whatever life throws at us, the storm is itself an opportunity to choose faith over fear, to remind ourselves that Jesus is with us always, that Jesus is in control even whenever we aren't, to discover that Jesus Christ is Lord of all creation, that he is the King who is establishing his kingdom on earth. Behold our God. Let's pray together. Mighty God, when it feels like my life is spinning out of control, remind me that being in control isn't actually my job, it's yours. Lord, whatever storms come my way, please use them to help me see you with greater clarity. Thank you that Jesus has power over every situation and is right beside me. Help me to trust in your love for me. And let that bring peace on the inside, even whenever life is chaotic on the outside. For we pray in the name of our storm-calming Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm delighted that some of our young people will now lead us in our prayers of intercession. Over to them.
Dear God, we thank you for always calming the storm. Storms that cause our world to rock and shake and make us feel like we are sinking. You bring us to peace and calm the storm. Thank you for always seeking us out in our troubles and anxiousness and helping us put Jesus in the forefront of our lives. Thank you for all the help you give us, although we mightn't recognize it immediately. We thank you for your perfect provision. God, we ask you to provide our government with wisdom to safely bring us out of lockdown and as quickly as you see possible. We pray for the best case scenario through this situation none of us saw coming. Help us to learn to trust in the people in charge and help them seek reliable, trustworthy and helpful data in this tough period of time.
Dear Lord, we come to you this morning to pray about mission, whether it's local or global. We pray that we can still do our best through these uncertain times. We pray and thank you for the work of John and Brita, Jed, Louise and Heather and their families. We thank you for the work they are continuing to do globally. We pray that you'll be with the two teams from Stainfield Road who are planning to go down south this summer with Exodus. Help the young people who have never been before and the leaders through the planning stages and during the placement. We pray these teams are still able to go ahead and that they can reach out and help those who don't know you. We pray about schism. We pray that we can still perform some sort of schism week for the locals around Stainfield Road. We pray that with restrictions we can still meet in summer and have lots of fun. Lord, please be with the leaders through the planning stages as it will be more stressful this year, and we pray that the locals will still come and have lots of fun.
Lord, I pray for the NHS staff. I am so thankful we are blessed with so many courageous individuals who are constantly putting others' needs before their own. I pray that you continue to watch over them and the good works they are doing. Support them in the midst of the everyday trials and tribulations they face, and provide them with the reassurance that their good deeds aren't going unnoticed by you or our community. I pray that you will encourage and strengthen them, particularly during their toughest days. I pray for those who have worked tirelessly to create the vaccine for COVID-19. I'm grateful that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and with every individual who has been vaccinated, we come closer to a sense of normality in our lives. With the vaccine being distributed and the hope that this has given us for the future, Lord, help us to not forget about those countries who are less fortunate than us and don't have access to the vaccine at this time. I remain hopeful for the future and ask you, Lord, to protect and surround these individuals with your everlasting comfort and presence. In this period of isolation, mental health is a priority, and I pray for those who may be particularly struggling during these uncertain times. Lord, help us to support one another and to stay motivated throughout our daily lives and difficult circumstances. Give us strength to remain positive and to allow your glory to shine through us.
Dear Lord, through the past weeks and months, many of us are experiencing stress and worries or restricted to our own home. We pray that you provide children and young people with encouragement during homeschooling and support families through the pressure of education at home. For many young people, the news on returning to school brings excitement and joy. However, for some, the growing anticipation can lead to anxiety. I pray that you comfort those who feel panic at the thought of returning to the classroom. We pray especially for those in P7 who have had a year of doubt and uncertainty and now face the choice of selecting secondary schools. Please support and reassure the children and families of those making this decision. Give strength to students who are taking exams after enduring a year of online lectures with very little opportunity to relax socially. We pray for the creativity of students and that while they are restricted, you will provide opportunities to capture their attention and imagination while providing patience to those who are fed up with the lockdown. We pray that you are with students who may be struggling with mental health during this challenging year and help students today see how the Bible speaks into where they are at the moment and remind them that you are in control. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.